What's going on, my beautiful people? We are here. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Another great day inside the Black Actors Studio. I have an amazing guest with me today. She is a daytime Emmy-nominated actress, singer, and dancer. You know her very well as Dion on The Game. We'll see you soon. Don't move a muscle.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, there it is. Come on. That beat drop. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. It's your boy, Danny Royce. Welcome inside the Black Actors Studio. My host today has made her name very known on the stage, on the TV screen. She has been in The Game, running BET as Dion. Also on Family Time, you've seen her as well on The Bronx SIU. Please welcome, the Black Actors Studio is very proud to have Miss Shanti Lowry. What's good, Queen?
Oh my goodness, thank you. What a lovely intro. Thank you very much.
I do what I can. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Danny. Thank
awesome.
You.
It's a pleasure having you.
I love this music. Very classy.
Isn't it very classy. It gets you in the zone, you know
yes.
what I mean? Hey, how was your day today?
It's been great. I've been looking forward to this all day, actually.
Yeah,
truly. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's dope. And so I do want to touch a little bit on what's going on with you right now.
Yes.
With your TV show.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that before we get started with the
Okay. And you're talking about the TV show that I created.
Yes.
You see how I just say that? So casually.
I created.
I didn't even mean it like that, but that's how it sounded. Oh, what, you mean the show that I did? No, it took me years to create this show, and it wasn't even... It wasn't originally a goal to create a show, actually. I'm all about creating content, but it was films that I had been previously interested in creating. And it's a really complicated, convoluted story how this show came about, but... I created, produced everything. I mean, from line producing to associate producing to set design. And then I starred in, danced in, and directed also this sitcom. And I'm in editing right now. And my gosh, I think it's really good. And that's a weird thing to say.
That's awesome.
You know?
But,
yeah.
You should say that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I think you should claim it when you work really hard and. You don't cut corners. I think you should be allowed to be like, hey, I did that.
For sure.
You
for know? Sure. Well, we'll get into a little bit more of that later on.
Okay.
But first, we always start in the studio. Where were you born?
Oh, I was born in Boulder, Colorado.
Hey!
USA.
Boulder, Colorado. How was the family dynamics growing up?
Ooh, okay. So, yeah. Ooh, let's get into it. I grew up in Boulder. There were not a lot of other brown people even, let alone black people. And my mom is white, just like as white as can be. She is the type that turns, you know, red in the sun. She's white. And I wasn't raised with my father. And I eventually formed a relationship with him when I was 16. But growing up, you know, it was my brother and I and my mom. And we really felt ostracized by a lot of the community, too. So it really genuinely was like the three of us against the world. And it was it was hard. It was really hard. We were very poor on top of that. And we were poor in a town that is very wealthy. So you're, again, just, you know, set aside from everybody else. You're different in another way. Yeah.
Do you find yourself relating a lot to Mixed-ish and things that are going on in that show?
Gosh, I hate that you just asked me that because I'm ashamed I have not watched it. And I should. I'm ashamed because that show, you know, I imagine from the previews I've seen and the idea that that's my childhood in a lot of ways.
I'm sure you can relate a lot to that.
Yeah.
So what did you have any nicknames growing up or?
Danny, I wish I did.
No,
Shanti is like the kind of name where it just never gets a good nickname. My brother called me Sean for a while, and I loved it.
Sean.
Like, that was the greatest nickname ever. But it didn't really last. And, you know, my nephews call me Tia. It's probably only Tia, which is, you know, just Spanish. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But that's pretty much the only nickname I have. I wish.
I would have called you TT.
Give me a nickname.
TT. You could have been the original TT before.
That's hot. I want that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Start calling me TT, guys.
So how was it in school for you? Did you, like, really fall into the arts then, or was it after, so, like, high school and things like that?
Interesting. School was hard for me because I didn't fit in, and I got bullied quite a lot until about fifth grade. Fifth grade, things shifted where I was just mostly neglected by people. Like, I just wasn't, nobody was interested in, like, being friends with me. Mm. But before that, I was genuinely, like, really bullied a lot. So, I definitely didn't get into the arts. I just didn't know how to be around other people to start off with.
Okay.
And then my mom, this is kind of interesting. Most people know me that as a dancer and that I've danced my whole life. No, I actually wanted to be a baseball player. Very badly.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, because I loved it. I played on an all-guys team. I did not play softball. I played baseball.
Ah, okay.
And I was the pitcher, and I was really good. This was when we were 10, 11, 12. I mean, all through, but at 10, 11, 12 years old, it starts mattering whether you're good. It's not just like, oh, you hit the ball.
Right.
They start putting you on teams based on, you know, like, can we win? And then at 12 years old, they start doing locker rooms. And they said, no girls, that you have to go and play softball. And I was just, you know, when you play baseball, there's nothing wrong with softball, genuinely. But when you play baseball, then for them to tell you, just because you're a girl, you have to go play softball, I just wasn't interested. And I was a pitcher. That's an entirely different thing to learn.
Oh, yeah.
That
pitch is
crazy. It's different, yeah. And I was like, no, I want this small one. I don't want this crazy big thing. But when they said I couldn't do it anymore, I just switched it up. And I don't actually know how I ended up doing dance, but that's when I went full into the arts and everything. When they kicked me off in athletics.
When they kicked you off. That's crazy. On my team in high school in wrestling, we had a female.
One.
And then she had to, you know, be let go too. Same thing,
yeah, right?
It's crazy.
I don't think that's the way it is now, but, you know, that was how it was growing up.
That's crazy. So when you got into dancing, what was the form that really attracted you most?
Definitely what we call lyrical. It's now what they call contemporary.
Yeah.
But it was because, honestly, I was a little dramatic. I was going through a lot of things. I wanted to express myself.
Yes.
And so, you know, just like any angsty teenager, those expressive songs and dances, that's what I loved.
Let's get some hand movements. Come on.
Let's get some hand movements?
Let's get some.
I have these shoulder things that are not letting it, live. Go on my
Instagram. Which is beautiful, by the way.
You'll see plenty of my hand movements and dancing.
Yes. You kill it.
Thank you.
You're killing it on that, of course. So, what television shows are you know, films did you watch growing up, and what actors or actresses really inspired you to get into this?
Wow, you know it. Okay, so this is also an interesting story. Because we were very poor, we didn't have a television for a lot of my childhood, and also my mom wasn't really, interestingly, into what television was pushing or presenting.
Right,
so she didn't encourage me to watch television.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I don't think a lot of people know is you can check out a TV from the library.
Mm.
And so we would do that. We would check out a TV.
What?
Yes, you're right.
I didn't know
that. I don't know if you can still do that, but you could. And you check out the TV and you check out some tapes and, you know, that was like our weekend fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it also made TV and movies like sort of on this pedestal. It was special.
Right.
So it wasn't just click it on and stare at it mindlessly. It was like, who directed this movie? Even at a young age, oh, interesting. And who's in this movie? And I learned about casting directors really early on as well, and things that I don't think a lot of other preteens were thinking about.
Right.
Simply because, you know, you only get two movies and it's a whole weekend. You're going to study, like, everything there is to do with those movies.
That's so crazy. Like, can I get a 55-inch? Let me flat screen. Thanks.
Right, exactly. No, this was that, like, awful one that you roll on.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think it actually instilled an appreciation in the whole art form for me. And as far as, like, actual actors and artists, Meryl Streep from the beginning just blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
She just kills me because she is not Meryl Streep doing a really great job at this character. She is that character right. every time.
Right.
And it's just, she disappears into the role, and I love it.
That's awesome. She does. Yes, she does.
She's
Meryl
phenomenal.
Streep, shout out.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the other is Denzel.
Denzel, hands down.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go, Denzel. Come on.
Doesn't he always win every scene? I know it's not a competition, really. But in acting, there's like these big actors. They get up and they, like, you know, right. try and out-act each other.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't have an actor out, you know, do you?
It's just tennis, Denzel.
You know?
You can't be Denzel.
Yeah. So you might as well just Denzel. Okay,
yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
So when did you make that transition and that decision, because it is a big decision, to come here to L.A.?
Yeah, it's a huge decision.
Yes.
I love that you say that. A lot of people think, like, something's going to happen and someone's going to call and be like, you've been discovered. Come to, like, you have to work so hard and you have to want it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want it even when someone looks you in the eyes and says you're not good enough. You have to be able to say, I disagree. And that's, you got to want it bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I decided very young that I wanted to tell stories and be creative and be an artist. As far as coming to LA, I got an agent when I was about, I think I was 15 or 16, but as a dancer.
Okay.
And at the time, I graduated high school early, and I was deciding whether I should go off to... I was trying to figure out my path, really. And my mom and all of my family have, you know, PhDs and master's degrees, and they've gone to prestigious colleges.
Mm.
And, you know, I was like, Yale. Or I could go to New York and dance with Alvin Ailey.
Mm.
Or I could move to L.A. and try and be an actor. And it just didn't seem like, you know, like, that's not the choice.
Right.
These other choices are much smarter, logical choices. And... then I was at a dance competition, and this agent tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, if you... Didn't I just say this doesn't happen?
Yeah.
Tapped me on the shoulder and said, if you move to L.A., I'd love to represent you as a dancer.
Mm.
And I was like, oof, because I really knew that my future was in acting.
Right.
But I thought, if I go to New York and I become an Alvin Ailey dancer, I'll be in the company behind other amazing dancers for years and years and years, and I won't get to act for a really long time.
Right.
And if I go to Yale, you know, I'm not going to get to act
Who
for
knows?
Many years, right? Maybe in theater and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I go to L.A. and I start dancing, even professionally, I could audition the first day I'm there for acting stuff. And it was in that moment that I just knew my heart wanted to give this a try. And my mom, without blinking, was like, I love that decision.
Mm.
Because she was like, give it a shot.
Yeah,
you know, you're
why not?
Young. You can go to school another time.
Right.
Like, and that was really huge that I had support. Because I think I would have done it anyway, but it was so much nicer to look at somebody and have them say, you're not crazy.
Of course.
Which I don't think a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that, like, there's some people, you know, a lot of people, their families aren't really in agreement with them. Yeah, most. So what would you say to someone like that that's trying to do this and don't really have that support?
Find your own family. Find the family that you want to have. And it doesn't mean that you don't talk to your family anymore. I mean, that's a completely different conversation.
Right.
But find the family that supports who you are and who you want to be, because it's your life. And I do. I'm someone who actually believes family is really important to an extent, because I've had family, like, my mom's side of the family, much of it didn't approve of interracial marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of difficulty in my childhood with that. And at some point, I just realized, this is going to sound really cold, but I don't care. Like, they don't offer me anything good in my life with that kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay without it. And so I think sometimes you have to be able to say that about even people you really love and care about, that if you're not offering me a positive... if you're not offering me positivity, maybe it's not good to have in my life. It's not good to have you in my life anymore.
Exactly.
It's a hard conversation, but I think in general, when you're struggling and you want to come out here, you need to have people in your corner that tell you it's possible and tell you to keep trying even when you want to give up, because otherwise you'll just give up.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah.
I mean, you have the family that you were born into, and you have your chosen family, you know?
That's what my TV show's about, actually.
Hey, okay.
Very on topic.
We got brainwaves.
Yeah.
And just... you know, your tribe and being surrounded by people, your village, like you all always mention.
My village. My village is watching online right now.
Hey, come through. And speaking of that, I'd like to also shout out my village. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. If you're watching in the chat right now, go ahead and ask some questions if you want. I'll be sure to ask Shanti if there's time. And I want to say thank you so much to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for allowing us to come in week in and week out and sharing these amazing stories from these people in this community. And I'm so excited and happy to do this for you every week. It's been a blessing. And also, if you missed season one, go ahead and check it out on www.onchannel.com. You can see the whole season one there and binge it. Just like you binge everything else.
Exactly. And you interviewed Taye Diggs, right?
I did.
I had a chance to work with him on Murder in the First, I think.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that was honestly just a random name drop. Sorry. I was just trying to say that's a really awesome interview. I haven't seen it, and I really want to.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. It's amazing.
And he's another triple threat, right?
Yeah. Singer, dancer, actor, and very, very funny, calm, and warming, and
He's like just a cool, chill presence,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. And I call him a legend.
I like it.
I'm already there.
I think he is.
I was like, you're pushing.
I think he is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he was sort of like a sex symbol.
House Stella got her groove back and all that. '90s.
Did I just make him older than he is? Was that the '90s or the
1000s? Yeah, that was the '90s.
Yeah,
late '90s, early 1000s.
To be still working in this industry and to be making like really good, you know, material.
Right.
Like that's, he's a legend.
And how was your experience working with them?
It was actually wonderful. Awesome. Murder in the First was a really fun set. It had a lot of color in front of the camera and behind, which is rare. So that was nice.
Awesome that you bring that up. So we see, you know, Hollywood making progress, you know, it's starting to transition into the, we're seeing a lot more people of color in front of the camera. Behind the camera is getting still a little iffy. What are your thoughts on where things are going and where you'd like things to go?
I think that I had this interesting conversation with another white actor, which is why I'm shaking my head. Because I think a lot of times as black actors, we have this conversation and we're on the same page. We're like, yes, there needs to be more representation, you know, not just in front, but certainly behind, especially writers.
Right.
And so I was having what I thought was like that normal conversation with another white actor, and he was like, well, you know, and I really wanted to like listen to what his perspective was. And I found it interesting in that he had heard of a show that they forced them to fire two of the writers to bring on both a female and a black voice, and how that just really ruined the culture of the show and, you know, all sorts of things, which I can totally understand.
Right.
And on the other side of it, I'm like, yeah, but it's about time that there was a black voice or a female voice on a show like that in particular. I won't even say the show.
Right.
I just think people have to remember that change is hard, and change isn't always just a slight bit you give and I give. Sometimes it has to be someone has to get fired and someone else has to be put in. And that sounds awful because that person who was fired might have been hugely capable. But there does need to be a change because of the way Hollywood has been run for so many years. There's got to be a backlash.
Of course.
I was on a show, what is the one? Oh my gosh, I'm brain dead. Ashton Kutcher took over for Charlie Sheen.
Two and a Half Men, yes.
Okay, so this is a very big show, and it was in the height of Ashton coming on, and I obviously am a woman of color. I was the only woman of color on the show, but it was a small cast, so I didn't really think of it. And then we were doing a run-through, and they invited over 200 studio executives to this run-through. I've never been on a show that was like that before.
That's crazy.
Crazy. But this run-through, 200 of the people who run the show came. And I was at a vantage point where I could see everybody. There was one person of color in this room of 200 people who run one of the biggest shows in Hollywood. Like, that is what we're talking about. And so for the white actors who are upset, just think about what that says for me. I'm up there looking for my representation, people who might tell a story like something that I've gone through. And I saw one man, and this man was wearing a Sean John velour suit top to bottom, so I don't feel like he was telling my story anyway. it's just like that was, you know, it's not even and it's not fair.
No.
Sometimes it's going to take a big push to get it there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's happening more so now, but we still have a long way to go.
We have a long way to go. Yeah.
But, I mean, we come from, you know, a place where, you know, white actors would put on blackface to portray us, you know, so it's like... Just think about coming from that, and
that's so interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just think about coming from that. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I want to get into one of your first big roles.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did you feel when you got that role, and also a little bit of the audition process
for Dion? I assume
you know it.
For
Miss Dion on the game.
Wow. So maybe you guys don't know this story because it's been a minute, but I was actually auditioning to play Melanie, and this is a very interesting story. So it had all been cast. The show had been cast, and they were just trying to cast Dion, who was just a one-time guest star, who was just going to be a sassy image consultant. And I went in for that part, and I booked it. And I was crazy excited, because that alone, with Mara Akhil as the creator, was like, oh, this is wonderful. I will, for 1 week, get to work with Mara.
Of course.
So then we go in for the rehearsal process for the week, and they decided to let go of the woman they cast for Melanie. And I don't know why, to this day, they decided that. So they just said, with, I think, 45 minutes notice, hey, Shanti, can you read the parts of Melanie all day today? And I was like, and also you have to realize I was so green.
Yeah,
I was so, I've been here for a couple years. This was probably one of the first times I'd been on set with like executives and things. And I just genuinely didn't know the opportunity that was being presented.
Right.
Mara was basically like, I think maybe you could do this part. Can you give it a good shot? I just didn't see that. And so I just held the script and like read it casually, thinking I'm just being a place mark for whoever they're bringing in to play this part. And then at the end of the day, they said, hey, can you go over to the network? They want to just test you real quick for the part. Just test me real quick for the part? So I hadn't memorized the lines. I hadn't been working on it. Yeah, I'd been working on Dion all day.
Okay.
And I went over and to the studio, and in walks Tia. Tia Mori.
Yes.
And I love Tia. And I love her for who she's been and who she is. And then here I am, like, sort of a green nobody. And I knew I was up against her. And I just immediately was like, it's not going to be me. Which is terrible. Don't ever do that.
Yes.
Don't ever sabotage yourself.
You sabotage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So sad.
But actors do it all the time.
Truly. And she went in and killed it. And I went in and was nervous. And the worst thing is I drove over there with the actor who was playing Derwin, and we were in the car at a stoplight. This sounds fake, but it's true. And I was in the passenger seat just feeling like, man, I know I didn't get it, but keep a smile face on, keep your smile on. And I look over and Tia pulls up right next to us because she's heading to the studio. Because she's on the phone screaming about getting the part. Like, I literally saw her go, I got it? Oh, my God, I'm so excited. And Aldis, who was playing Derwin at the time, just kind of looks at me, and we look at each other, and I was like, this isn't awkward. This isn't terrible. So awkward. But in the end, we were all friends because we got to work together anyway.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Wow, what's one of your favorite moments on set?
Gosh, I could, there's probably a million. The popcorn fight that I had with Tia was so fun. How that came about, how we used to mess around a lot. But I think, just because we're telling this story, my favorite memory is that week and how supportive everybody was that first week, knowing that I had auditioned for that part and then I didn't get it and Tia came in, and, you know, that could have been hugely awkward for everybody, and everyone just gave me so much love and kindness, from the casting directors to the producers to the actors. I think Tia invited me into her room like every 5 minutes to just be like, let's be friends, let this be awful.
Right.
So thank you to everyone who was kind.
That's awesome. Getting to work with, did you like watch like Sister Sister and stuff, like older when you're,
I didn't, like I said, I didn't have a TV, so I didn't grow up with it.
Right.
But I've watched
it. But you did
now.
Watch it and stuff like that. That's awesome. So how was the auditioning process as far as like you preparing for the role?
So like I said, I didn't, for Dion. It was
even
very
after
brief.
You booked it, because those who are watching, like, as an actor, the real work comes after you book, you know?
Yeah.
And so how did you prepare for Dion And were you ever surprised at where the writers took Deanna?
Absolutely. That's such an interesting question. Because how you prepare for a movie is very different than how you prepare for a TV show. Mm-hmm. Is a movie, you know your character's arc from beginning to end.
Right.
And you can chart that out and find the moments of transition and really, really make your performance complete and detailed. In TV, you can do your best to do that for one episode, but the next episode comes and you're like, wait, I say what? Mm. Wait, I did what?
Mm-hmm.
The best example of that for me is actually The Closer. I was cast as a girlfriend, the part of a love interest on the Closer.
Right.
And after my first episode, I got a script detailing that I'm actually the mole and I'm a lawyer. I had no idea I was even a lawyer. And I had no idea that, you know, my storyline goes back years and I've been, you know, doing all these plotting. And I remember crying when I read it because I was like, she's horrible. I don't want to
well, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this. So, yeah, it changes. And I'd say the process before the audition is twofold. One, to just try and get a really solid base for the character, because that's what everyone else is trying to do, too, right?
Right.
There's going to be a director. There's going to be producers that come in and give you the other layers that they want, but you just need to feel, like, really grounded and solid foundation for who you've decided this character should be. Make one or two really strong choices so that you stand out as someone who's put some time and energy into it.
Okay.
I always memorize my lines because I don't want the nervousness. Right. That's just me. I don't know if that's everyone, but...
Same.
So,
it's just, yeah, it's distracting.
It's distracting.
It adds to the nerves.
It adds to the nerves, yeah. You don't need any more of those.
Right.
And then I try and not do too many choices. Like I said, one or two, because I want to make sure that when I'm in the room and someone gives me a direction, that I can do it without changing too much. Like sometimes when you really have a clear idea of what you want and someone's like, ooh, try it this way, there's sort of a little bit of a block. You have a hard time adjusting.
Like, give me a moment.
Exactly. Yeah, and that doesn't, you know, the director wants to see that you're directable.
Right, exactly.
So that's what I say for auditions. For your character, once you've booked it, it's totally different. It's go as deep as you can for me. Like, you know, write your pre-story, write, you know, go back to acting school and think about all those crazy things that you were supposed to do. What's the temperature like? What happened before you came into the room?
Yeah.
I'm sort of a nerd, and I like to go back and do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because I end up using it when I'm doing the scene, but you've just done so much more work. You're so much more in it, no matter what.
Right.
Even if something happens outside of your scene, you're so grounded in the scene, it doesn't affect you.
Right. Definitely. No, I can definitely see that. Thank you for that advice to everyone that's watching. and so I want to talk about Family Time.
Family time.
On Bounce TV.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit how it is working with, you know, everyone. It's a great cast on there.
Great cast.
Omar Gooding.
Oh, look at them. Angel and Omar. They're the
so
cutest.
Funny. Yeah, they are amazing. How is it on set? And how was that process as well?
That was an interesting process. That was one of those Hollywood moments where I had auditioned for Bentley for a completely different part, and then he thought of me for this kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And this is also an example of just a role that grew. Same with Dion. I auditioned as a one-day guest star, and they turned it into, you know, multiple season recurring. Same with Cheryl. It was supposed to just be a silly, you know, just a silly neighbor moment. And
Cheryl.
They had fun with it. I know. Cheryl's hilarious.
She's a mess.
If you're not watching Cheryl, you're missing out.
Right.
She's crazy. She's my favorite character to play, I think, because she will do anything.
This is free.
Dead face.
Right.
She will say whatever. It's amazing.
Yeah, those characters are always fun to get into. And it just, you know, it shows as an actor, like, anything can really happen. Like, you can book something, and then all of a sudden they just X your character out.
Yes.
There where they can, you know, bring your character on as a recurring or series regular. So it's just like, you really don't know.
You really don't.
It takes a different type of person to be in this industry.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's a really good point.
It really does.
Yeah. I think also you have to be willing to capitalize on opportunity.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Like, ready. You know, always looking in a positive way, not in a, like, you know, like a manipulative way.
Right.
But it's the idea of the minute you get on set, it's be polite to everyone. Learn people's names. Really get comfortable there, because you never know who you're talking to. And a lot of it is who they want to be around on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, like, if an actor's a jerk, even if they're good, they might not bring you back. But if you're lovely to be around, they're going to come up with reasons to write things for you.
Of course.
I remember hearing that Tom Cruise and Angelina Jolie are both very similar on set. They learn everyone's name. They make sure to talk to everyone. And I saw an interview that I don't remember which one of them said it, but it had nothing to do with trying to be a good person. It was like, listen, if I'm really kind to you, you're going to be really kind to me and
right.
do your job the best that you can. You're going to be like, no, this lighting is not good enough for Angelina. Give me a second. I'm going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a real person who treats me like a real person.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little bit to do with that. Just be kind to everyone and be on your job and work hard. People will notice,
yes.
and people will want you around.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And you're a very spiritual person, and, you know,
yeah,
you do
that.
Yoga. And
yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah.
has yoga or in this mindset that you have helped you with some of the challenges and some of the demons that Hollywood presents?
That's interesting. I've never thought about that before, but I think it has.
Yeah.
I don't do yoga for the spiritual reason, so I and there are a lot of people who really find it to be very spiritual,
right. mm-hmm.
and so I don't want to step on their toes. I do it because I love to stretch and stay mobile, and that connects me to myself
mm-hmm.
and my vitality.
For sure.
But I do think that all of that helps me to get through Hollywood. I think the main thing is having a life outside of it.
Yes.
Having interests outside of it.
Very true.
Creative ones, too, because we all, like, want to get into doing a project because we want to stretch our creative juices.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe your hobby is something that's not that creative, and so you're still not flexing those muscles. I try and have just, a lot of hobbies and things that I love to do that I still get to be creative. And then this business doesn't drag me down so much.
Right. Yes. You have to have a life outside.
Yeah.
I remember last season when I had Oba Boba Tunde on.
Amazing.
Wisdom beyond wisdom.
Yeah.
But he had stated that, you know, you can't make this your life.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you'll be lost.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. And you're still plant-based?
Playing bass?
Plant bass.
Oh, plant bass. I was like,
playing bass? Playing baseball, yes,
know,
of course.
I mean, I'm still plant. I am actually just recently plant based. I've
just
been
recently, okay.
A pescatarian for 10 years.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, yes.
It's weird. I didn't realize it'd been that long.
Welcome
but, yeah.
to the family.
Are you plant based?
I am.
Hey! It's been about a month and it's going really, really well. I mean,
awesome.
Like, really enjoying it. I found good substitutes for everything. And
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you ever need tips, let me know.
I definitely do.
Over 2 years running, so
really?
It's, yeah.
I do need tips.
For sure. We'll
give me one of your best tip.
My best tip?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, you know, everyone's talking about protein, right?
Yeah.
Well, where do you get your protein? Where do you get your protein?
That's a silly question, by the way.
It's a silly question.
We all get our protein from vegetables, even the cow
right.
gets the protein
like
from
protein,
the vegetables.
Vegetable. Anyway. But yeah, I would say, you know, the biggest tip that I could recommend any person that's starting plant-based is to learn how to cook and learn
yes.
your ingredients.
Yes.
Because a lot of people find themselves cooking the same things over and over, and that's why they get bored,
yeah.
and then they become deficient in
yeah.
some things,
yeah.
and so they either get sick and blame it on being plant-based,
right.
or they just go back because they're bored and go back to eating, you know, dairy meat and stuff
dairy,
like that.
Right.
So
yeah.
I would say definitely just knowledge is the key to plant-based.
I think that's
sure.
why I even said it the way I did. I'm about a month into my journey,
right. mm-hmm.
because even though I actually have been plant-based the entire time, it's like, I really do feel like it's a journey. I have to
it
first
is.
Learn, like, I found a great egg substitute, and I'm happy in the morning, just egg.
Just egg.
Oh!
Mung
so
beans.
Good.
Mung beans.
You guys, we're high-fiving for a reason.
We are.
Amazing.
We are. Check it out.
But you have to find, like, your substitutes in order to not do the thing where you just go back.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
it takes time to learn to cook, like
mm-hmm.
you said. We all forget that. Like,
it does.
It took time to learn how to marinate that burger just right. It's going to take time for you to learn to marinate that Beyond Burger
right.
just right.
Just right.
Yeah.
Just right. Or Impossible Burger. You
exactly.
need to talk about endorsements on this show.
I know.
Come on, Beyond. No.
I will tell you, when Just Egg goes public, which supposedly it is,
yeah.
I'm in, guys.
Right.
A little tip. For me,
they were not anywhere. Like, they were little gems, hidden gems. Now
yeah.
I saw them in Ralph's the other day. I was like, what?
Yeah, but they have, like, you can only buy a certain number at places because they don't have enough.
They
like,
don't have
everybody
a lot.
Loves it.
It's an ancient bean. Like, it is, this bean has been
the
around
bean?
For, yes, it's been around for thousands of
Just
years.
Just saying it like that. It's made of an ancient bean.
I used to be a chef, so I'm very intricate when it comes to food.
Oh, good. Recipes we're going to share.
Yes, for sure. And so, the nominated, Emmy Award nominated. Aww. Okay, I want to get into the feeling that, like, take us back to that moment when you were like, oh my God, I'm nominated for an Emmy.
I'm super embarrassed because I think my mom or somebody was recording and I was, like, jumping up and down and screaming like a child.
Hey, I'm sure.
But, you know, it was... I think the reason it hit me so much, I'm actually not someone who needs, like, accolades and awards.
Right, right.
Because I love what I do, and I love that I get to do it, and I make a living doing it, and I'm, like, I don't need anything else. So it was weird why I got so excited about the Emmy, and I think it was simply because, oh my goodness, we put everything we could into Bronx SIU season one. Whew! You know,
and season two is a few weeks ago, available now on DVD.
Yes, yes. They're both available on DVD. Yeah. You're right. Streaming, check it out.
Streaming, for sure.
Definitely binge watch it.
Hey.
It's fun. Oh, look at that poster. Man, see that right there, just even that, I remember the day we did the posters, and it was in the middle of trying to get like a million other things done. It's a season one show, actors understand. It's just different, you know? You don't have a fancy craft service and somebody bringing you breakfast. You're lucky if you get a bagel, like, halfway through the day because they're like, wait, we're doing your hair and makeup on the elevator trying to...
Yeah.
You know, it's just different because it's you know, you don't know if you're going to have an audience, and so the network doesn't want to give you the money that maybe you need.
Right.
And so for us to then get all those nominations on a season one show that was just hard. It was so hard to get done.
Amazing.
It was really special.
Amazing. I'm sure.
It'll never feel that way on any other show. Never.
And you worked with, you know, Miguel A. Nunez Jr., which I also had on here last season.
Yeah.
How was that? He is a riot.
He's crazy. He's crazy. He's funny. Yeah, he was on season one.
Yeah, on season one.
And then just so many fun actors. Brian White plays my opposite, my other detective co-star. He's great. I mean, literally, just all of the cast was wonderful. We were in the trenches together just trying to get it done.
Who's someone you haven't worked with that you would love the opportunity?
Many.
I know. Give me an actor and actress. Can we...
Oh, an actor and actress.
Yeah,
I was thinking directors.
Let's nail it down.
That's terrible.
No, that's amazing, too.
You know, it might just be the top two that I gave you. Like, I would die to work with Meryl Streep. I think I might actually die. Like, I might have a heart attack before the scene started, so maybe we don't want to do that.
I might actually die.
I feel like I wouldn't even know how to say hi. Like, if she, like my line was just hi, I feel like I would not know how to say it to Meryl.
Oh, that's funny.
And similar, the other would be Denzel. I just think both of them would up your game so much, just being in the room with them. So I guess those would be my top two. Although I honestly love working genuinely with any actor who is as excited to be there as I am.
Yes.
Who's like, let's do this. Like, who wants to rehearse before, who wants to talk about it in the middle of the scene. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the actors that I love to work with.
Yeah.
I'm not so much one of those people who's like in my own world and I just want to present what I've worked on.
Right.
I want to work together with people.
Of course. It's one of the most collaborative arts ever.
For some people. Like, for some people. Some people aren't like that, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, some people,
it should be a collaborative art.
But it should be.
Yeah.
Everyone has to pull a certain weight in order for the project to turn out the way it is.
Absolutely.
But I just want to say thank you again for joining me. It's been a pleasure having you on. And also, thank you again for everybody tuning in and watching. I have we're going to go to some fast questions soon.
Oh, I love it. Are we going to do what's your favorite word? What's your least favorite word? Are we really?
Yes, we are.
Oh. I'm very excited about that.
But first, I want to give you a little something. So I am in a calendar coming out next year.
Is it a nude calendar?
No, it's not a nude calendar. It's a artistically nude calendar.
It is a nude calendar.
It's Mattology. It's a men of color calendar.
Oh, that's really cool.
And a lot of the proceeds are going to a preschool that's based in Missouri.
Okay. Is this where you're from, Missouri?
No, I'm not from Chicago. But we are the creator of the calendar is getting a lot of money back to that preschool. Okay. He has some connections with it. So we like to say thank you for coming, and I want to give you a calendar.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I'm really excited. Do I get to see it?
Not yet. Well, not yet. I'll send it to you.
I'm going to show everyone. Don't worry, but, family. I'm going to show you.
Yeah, so I want to give you a calendar.
Thank you.
And out of gratitude for coming in, and also because it's a Men of Color calendar. I mean, why not?
I need to see it. Definitely.
Why not? But yeah, so that, and then we're going to go into our live questions.
Can I quickly just say thank you so much for having this show, for having me on it, certainly, but for having this show. This kind of stuff matters to people like us. We don't always get the mainstream media. It's a lot harder for us to get those kind of interviews, mm-hmm. and to have that kind of accolades, and you know, a show like this is about throwing the ladder back to other people and saying, this is the path, and let me help you get there. And without shows like this, then there will continue to not be enough representation of colored people in front of and behind the screen, like we've been talking about. And so shows like this are hugely important, and I'm very honored to be able to be a part of it in any way and truly join my village. It's what I call my social media family, because we're there for each other. We support each other.
Yes.
Shanti Lowry, across the board, come say hi and support stuff like this. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have as well.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So here we go. Ready?
Okay.
First thing that comes to your mind. What's your favorite word?
Jubilation. That's so easy. It's been my favorite word since I was like seven. Okay, Simon and Garfunkel, Cecilia, Jubilation.
Okay.
I love it.
I was like, what in the world?
Whose favorite word? It's a great word. It says, it means exactly how it sounds.
True. Very true. Jubilee.
Yeah. Okay. Jubilation.
What's your least favorite word?
Tenacious. I hate it. People label me tenacious all the time, but I feel like it only comes from generally white men.
Mm.
Always people of power telling me how they're shocked that I had the audacity to think that I could possibly be in their world. You know what I mean? Like, oh, how tenacious. It's always, I hate it.
Okay. Mm. All right. What's something that turns you on? Get you in.
Kindness.
Kindness,
truly.
Yes.
That's not even just like fake. You know how people say a smile or eyes are what's sexy? A man is not sexy to me, no matter how good looking or how abs, whatever, unless he's kind.
Kind.
Like really overtly kind.
I love that.
Yeah.
Nice. What's something that turns you off?
Ego. Mm. Pride.
Mm.
Ego and pride.
I can see that. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tequila or gin?
Depends on what you want me to do afterward. That's just straight up true. Depends on how you want me to act. They make me feel very differently.
You're like straight up a full tequila.
Yeah. I'm more fun on tequila and I'm more crazy on gin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like bad crazy, just like you don't know what I might do.
Right. The Cheryl comes out.
Cheryl comes out. Cheryl's a gin drinker.
For sure.
Yeah.
What's the sound or noise that you absolutely love?
I have no idea. Laughing. Mm. Laughing's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God's hand
wonderful.
On a troubled world.
Ooh.
You know?
I like that. I like that a lot.
Sound or noise you hate?
I don't think there's a sound or noise that I hate.
Really?
No, like,
nothing,
you know how
annoying?
People, obviously, like, nails on a
chalkboard.
I think,
one gets a lot.
right now, I'm, like, thinking about it. Yeah,
or when the styrofoam rubs together. Oh, I can't do that one.
Yeah, styrofoam. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What profession, other than your own, would you like to participate in?
So many. That's really hard. I want to be a carpenter. I've built like an office. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm building things all the time. I could be a gardener. I'd probably love that. I would have been a baseball player. Call me, you know, Rockies, what's going on? The teacher is probably the biggest one. I love to teach anything, break it down. Maybe a history professor.
Mm.
That would have been fun because you just constantly get to study and analyze history. That would have been really
true
interesting.
True history. to start
well,
out,
depends
start
on
out
depends
there.
On what school.
I know. I was like, let's just throw that out there.
Yeah.
What's your favorite line of Cheryl?
Cheryl line. Oh my God, there's probably too many. I can't think of a single one. I more think of her attitude where she just looks at someone and, oh, there was a line. It's so mean. It's something really mean. I can't even fully think of it. She's looking at someone and she's just like, oh, honey, who told you skinny jeans was a good idea? They lied. She's just so blunt. I love that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What profession would you not? Absolutely not.
What would I not do? Oh my gosh. That's hard because I think when you learn about anyone's profession, it's pretty interesting when you really learn about like what they love to do. I'm not thinking of anyone that I would absolutely hate because I'm not squeamish about anything.
Really?
Like, no.
So you can be a plumber if you wanted to, or maybe like.
I mean, it doesn't sound fun, but I could work at a zoo
and pick up droppings.
I hate to work at a zoo because I hate zoos. I feel like they're just imprisoning animals. It makes me sad. I've felt this way since I was a kid too. So don't yell at me. Since I was a kid, I've always felt sad about zoos. So maybe that. I'd hate to work in a zoo. Yeah. It'd make me sad all the time.
Yeah. All right. Marvel or DC?
Marvel. But I like the DC characters, but Marvel has just killed it with their films. They have a great thing going. They really do.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
Heaven exists, and you get to God.
And what you would get you, to God?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
And what would you like him to say to you?
It's okay. There was a reason. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like that. Because I think, gosh, I got strangely emotional when you asked me that question. I think there's so much in this world that I just want to know that there's a reason why people are mean and people are hard to, like not there's a reason why I didn't get that movie or why I didn't, you know, not the little stuff, but I hope there's a reason for why people are so mean and cruel and just like that we're supposed to learn something from it.
Mm.
Yeah. I hope he can tell me there's a reason.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And that's why I asked that question last, because it does bring up some things.
I'm surprised, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say thank you so much for coming in. I have a couple questions from some viewers,
okay
or from Instagram.
Let's hear it.
Let's
make them good. Come on.
All right. Someone asked, what is your favorite song to sing in the shower? That's a good question.
You know what?
That's a good question.
I think right now it's currently Kesha's song. Oh, her big song that's just like a screaming ballad. Gosh, I'm sorry, I'm brain dead. But any sort of like female ballad, for some reason I get very like proud of myself as a woman
Power.
In the shower.
Yes.
Maybe it's because I'm naked. I just want to sing female ballads in the shower.
Women are the future.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other one, what was your favorite moment playing Dion?
Oh, hands down, so easy. When I got to film the opening. So I think a lot of people know that in the beginning when there's the woman's foot on the football and then she walks down the field, the whole opening of the show, that's me. I got to do that. And I filmed that in the Rose Bowl at midnight with no one else there. And I'm a big football fan too. So it was an honor to do that.
Favorite football team? I gotta know.
The Broncos, but they're really disappointing me right now. So sad.
Right.
How could you let go of Emmanuel Sanders?
Right.
He's my favorite.
Wow.
Boo.
That's crazy. Sorry about that. The Broncos.
I know.
All right. Well, this time I want to give you the floor, and so you can tell your viewers and your village anything you would like them to know. Words of encouragement, words of inspiration. You know why this platform is here. You know why I created this show. You know why we're here. So this is your time.
Wow.
Our ending.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me and, you know, listening to this show. Because as I said, I think it's hugely important for us to realize that, you know, what we put in out in the media is not everything that's happening in Black Hollywood. We have a lot of wonderful actors and directors and writers that are succeeding and doing great work, and it's important to recognize them and applaud them and keep pushing them towards mainstream. But just thank you for listening and caring about my journey, because it's what I've been trying to do for years, and I'm honored that I feel like I've made it to a place where I'm throwing the ladder back, and I appreciate the fact that you came to listen.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
He's the best, like, truly.
Thank you so much. Go ahead and tell everyone where to find you if they didn't catch it earlier in the show.
Shanti Lowry, S-H-A-N-T-I-L-O-W-R-Y. At Shanti Lowry on Instagram is probably your best bet. I will talk to you.
All right. And everyone, you can find me everywhere at I Am Daniel Royce. Also, be sure to like, comment, subscribe to Black Hollywood Live and this video, and follow our Instagram page at black_actors_studio. We'll see you next week, same place, same time, here inside the Black Actors Studio. Have a good one.
Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.